Well, good evening, everyone. Full moon night tonight, the harvest moon. It's just about to be rising at sea level over there. So it has to climb Mount Hamilton first. We'll see it on our way home. In the Zen tradition, in the Buddhist tradition, going all the way to back to Buddha, there's a great celebration, and you take the precepts every time the moon does something. So actually it's four times a month. But in the American Zen tradition, we do it, if we do it, we do it with the full moon. So you might think about the precepts on the way home, and what it is to be a practicing Zen student, if you feel that's how you are. Judy just received the precepts on Friday. Some of you were there. Very beautiful ceremony. Congratulations. And just to do that is a joyful thing. So it's just acknowledging that our life is complicated and difficult, and that we're going to try real hard. That's all, really. So we decided to study the Heart Sutra, and then I did a sort of tough guy thing, and I said, well, okay, but this is my favorite book about the Heart Sutra. So I would like to speak from here, from Mushu Toku mind. The teacher who is on the cover is in a tradition of Kodo Sawaki. He studied at Antaiji, and Koban knew him and studied with him. They were both students together. He was a businessman who retired early and began to sit at Antaiji. And Koban was a young man who had just graduated from university and was sitting at Antaiji with Kodo Sawaki. So they made a connection. And then this guy, Deshi Maru, went off to France and eventually became the Bishop of Europe for the Soto organization, which means that he just did a lot of sesshins for everybody all around European capitals mostly. He had a big retreat center. They have a big retreat center in the south of France. He's long gone, but he left behind wonderful teachings, including this, which is a very wonderful take, I guess you could say, on the Heart Sutra. Mushu Toku mind is the mind of no gaining, no. And in the Heart Sutra you say, with nothing to attain. It means nothing to attain. The mind of not attaining. Grok that. You have to go, it's not easy. But that's with nothing to attain. The bodhisattva depends on prajna paramita, which means wisdom. And with wisdom, mind is no hindrance, and no fears exist. So boom, it's over. It's a very simple principle, you could say, but it's to study deeply and long. He has in here translation of it that is very helpful. It had helped me memorize it. And I thought it might help you all memorize it too. I copied it. It's front and back. And it's just what we chanted tonight. But in the course of it, he tells what the words mean. So Hanyaharamita means great wisdom. Ji sho ken ji, when sho, to illuminate, to see. So you'll see, it's helpful. And if you want to memorize it, which is also helpful, because once you know it by heart, you don't have to think about it anymore. It just comes kind of bubbling out. But I encourage you all to read other books about the Heart Sutra. There are many of them. The Red Pine has a great book on it in great detail. The Dalai Lama has a wonderful book on it. You can look it up on Amazon. You can go to the bookstores and seek it out. Or you could just sit down with it every day and make it a part of your life and practice. I think what I'll do is go through this, if I can, chapter by chapter. They're pretty simple. He starts out very simply with the first word. He calls it the sutra in context. So the first word is sha-ri-shi. Sha-ri-shi is one of Buddha's disciples. So he had 2,500 disciples. He ordained 2,500 people. And then he selected, he says, 10 people to give transmission to. And Sha-ri-shi was the very first one. He was renowned for his intelligence. And then there were, one by one, he names them all and where they came from. And one comes from a Brahmin family, and one's famous for being the son of a king, and they come from all over, and they've all joined to practice with Buddha, including Mahakashapa and Ananda. And Ananda was famous for having memorized everything that Buddha said so that it could be passed down and finally written a few generations later. So Shariputra, Sha-ri-shi, Shariputra, was a real person. I've said to some of you, as I was in a little car being driven around to all the Buddha places in India, we went to the burial place the birthplace and enlightenment place. And as we were driving along somewhere, the driver pointed out the window and he said, Shariputra's buried over there. And I thought, oh my word. Oh, he really was a real person. Wow. So he was very important. He shows up over and over in the sutras as the one who asks the questions, because he's so smart. He's really wise. And he wants to know everything that he possibly can. And of course, as he asks the questions, he's opening it up for everybody. So he's also very generous in that way. He says, Shariputra is the most intellectual disciple who's addressed by the Buddha, and this is crucial to understanding the sutra. He said, the circumstances of Shariputra's birth predestined him to become the Buddha's disciple. And then this magical story about his mom, who was a beautiful girl called Shari, which is the name of a bird, a beautiful bird like a phoenix. And she was known for her penetrating gaze and her profound look. And she wed a young man named Decha. She dreamed of another young man who exuded great power. And he broke mountains with a vajra. He just kept breaking down mountains in her dream, crash, crash, and they would grow up and she'd break them down again. And when she woke up, it says, that night, Shariputra was conceived. So this is one of those fairy tales or magical stories. And then it goes on, from a very early age, the boy showed remarkable intelligence. And by the time he was a teenager, no adult could hold an argument against him. He walked with his buddy and went to a party with his friend. And they drank and they danced and they got wild with everybody, and it was a crazy party, like all of us know. And then they were terribly ashamed of themselves the next morning. They thought, oh man, we're just wasting our life. This is stupid. So then they said, let's find a truly noble way. Let's seek eternity and find the true inexhaustible spring from which all this movement arises. I think that's very interesting. They were all whirling around and everybody was doing stuff and it was really fun, and but it was movement. It was like a river or like a wind. Surely we can find a master who will show us the way. So they started to look and found one right away, and were so good that they were told that they could teach right away, and it still wasn't good enough. And as they were walking around, they met a very young monk who seemed to be different from everybody else. And they asked about him, what makes you so different? Who's your teacher? And he said, oh, it's Shakyamuni Buddha. So they went to see him. They immediately visited this master and joined the Sangha. Shakyamuni Buddha put all his energy into their training, and they became his best disciples. Buddha sometimes sent Shariputra to give teachings in his place. They were often simple and short, but always had great depth. He had a melodious voice that rang out like a shari bird. His words flowed like water from a clear spring, sweet as honey, warm and comforting. His voice filled all who listened with joy. He was a great teacher and a talented preacher. Whereas Shariputra really existed, the Bodhisattva Kanjizai, because that's one of the words that we use, Kanjizai, that's Avalokiteshvara, is a symbolic figure, this symbol of universal love, compassion, the image of one of Buddha's attributes. In the Hanya Shingyo, the Buddha speaks to Shariputra through his representative Avalokiteshvara. Why does this conversation take place, and why in particular does it take place between these two, Shariputra and Avalokiteshvara? He says, it's the teaching that compassion, Avalokiteshvara, gives to wisdom, Shariputra. So, I was taught that wisdom and compassion are one thing. That if you turn it, you see compassion. If you turn it, you see wisdom. That it's an essential quality that is everywhere. It's not just in people, it's everywhere. It exists in dogs and cats and mountains and stars and clouds and the whole of it, of us, is wisdom and compassion. And that's what the Heart Sutra is about. That Shariputra, when practicing deeply the Prajnaparamita, when Avalokiteshvara is practicing deeply the Prajnaparamita, perceive that all five skandhas, that all the ways that everything is put together in the human being are empty. Meaning not like a vacuum, but totally connected to everything else. That's what ku is. So all through the chanting we say ku, ku this and ku that. Know this, know that. Because I always say it's the sutra is like a big eraser on a blackboard. It's all the teachings of Buddha that we, it looks like we're denying. But it's because of this no attainment part. If we become attached to any part of it, it's not true anymore. So, no suffering, no origination, no stopping, no path. So that's the four noble truths. And we say no to each one of them. And no attainment. So where does that leave us? It leaves us as an egotistical human being in limbo. But as a bodhisattva, it leaves us fearless and ready for anything, completely present. Because it's the grasping mind that is getting in the way. The mind that is deluded into thinking that we're all completely separate. So that's the very beginning. The second chapter is headed, and that's as far as I will go, four ways to transmit the Hanya Shingyo by translating, chanting, copying, or doing zazen. So, the story of how it got translated is told in the first part of the chapter, which is really wonderful. A Chinese guy went to India and heard it, and he kept saying it to himself over and over and over again, and until he finally went back to China and could tell somebody and get it written down. And so it became a part of our tradition. Nobody knows exactly how that worked, how it was, but they do know it was one particular guy and one particular time. And it made a big difference in the way that Buddhism was practiced. that compassion became a part of the practice, as well as the big striving for enlightenment. It developed after Buddha died into a practice of trying to transcend again. That was Buddha's beginning, trying to transcend the body and make a heavenly connection and be done with this troubled, toilful life. And until he realized that it's grounded, that actually this troubled life is actually it. This is all we get. There is no esoteric extra something. But then people began to develop that wish again. It's a kind of desire, the desire for more and better. And so when this came along, this changed everything, because this pointed to, with compassion, that means we're feeling for others. We're not just trying to develop ourselves and make ourselves better than everybody else and transcend this life. It means that we're willing to, as Koban always said, step down and just be with everybody and see what we can do to help. So it was a vast difference, a big step in another direction. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. These are very short chapters. And you can tell me what you discover next week in whatever you find as well. I do recommend this book just because it's different. But see what you can find. Are there questions? Wendy?
So who was Shariputta's friend? He just got outside?
No, he joined up too.
But you don't hear about him?
Not so much. Well, fame doesn't really matter very much. You know? Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the five skandhas?
Form, feeling, perception, impulses, consciousness. So it's a way of talking about how we're all put together. We're a mass of blood and bone stuff, and sensitivity and ability to take in with all the senses, and of course we're very whirling around in a dance of some kind, and we are conscious, and so it's just a way of saying that, like everything else, we're just bits and pieces put together that are temporary and are absolutely fated to fall apart again. So that's part of the emptiness, that it's temporary. Everything is temporary. Everything comes together in a wonderful way, and little by little everything falls apart again and then comes back together again. So it's part of the incredible dynamic of the universe that it works this way, but our mind doesn't see it so well that way. We see everything as sort of separate chunks, and each separate chunk, including me myself, is a permanent thing. You know, even the chairs that we sit on, we don't ever think about them falling apart or turning into a toy for a dog or a fire to keep somebody warm. I mean, everything that we know is going to turn into something else, including us. So it's a very important principle to understand in order not to become so attached to ourself in every moment, because every moment is changing. And for the moment, we're intact, more or less. There will come a moment when we are not going to be intact at all. And I know for myself and all my friends, it's quite a surprise when you start to really fall apart. It's just amazing. And people my age almost always talk mostly about how they're falling apart. All the things that happen to them. Oh, my liver is blah, 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 and my knee is blah, blah, blah. It's just that way, because it's just such a surprise what the hell happened to this healthy body that was hiking in the mountains just 5 minutes ago. So it's quite, it's part of our attachment to and misunderstanding of how things are that the five skandhas are trying to educate us about. Yeah. Please note, this is not going to last, whatever this is. So enjoy if you're young and strong, and enjoy if you're old and feeble. I mean, what else do you have? And that part is very interesting also, really interesting. So that's in brief. That's good question, thank you. It's time for one more. It mentions in here in the second chapter of the things that it's good for, like zazen, and also copying. And that's something that's a very wonderful ancient tradition, is copying sutras. I did the Lotus Sutra, which is quite long. And I just did one page a day. But it's a wonderful practice. And you can practice this. You could copy this. And that, too, would help you get it, feel it inside, and the words themselves become more familiar. There's something about the hand-eye coordination that goes in a way that is quite profound and meaningful. So I recommend that if you are so inspired. It's a lovely thing to do. Well, do we have announcements?
No, I'm working on the calendar for October, trying to decide a location for Sagaki. So when the decision is made, we'll send it out.
So Sagaki is our Halloween. It's when we feed the hungry ghosts, and it's a very fun ceremony. and also very serious ceremony. It's both. We bring in food for second harvest first. We also bring in food to share second. And we load up a table with the food that we bring. And then we invite the hungry ghosts who are starving because they have been so greedy in life that in death they are a big mouth, a huge stomach, and a tiny little throat. And they can hardly get anything in. And so we open up the gate of sweet dew, and offer them the food. And then in the midst of the ceremony, we recite the names of those who we know have died during the year. And it can be your relatives and friends, and it can also be people that everybody knows. And then we close the gate and eat up the food. So it's a party, and it's a ceremony, both. It's very cool. So at San Francisco, I think they get all dressed up in Halloween costumes and things, but we've never done that. I don't think we're up to that somehow. we'll find a time for it.
Well, it's scheduled for Saturday the 27th, 9 to whenever we want.
In the morning?
Yes. But whether we want to pay $160 to have it here.
Yes, they're asking for a lot more money than they ever did before. So we're trying to figure out whether we should pay that money or find another place that's not so expensive. So if anybody has any ideas, that's coming
too. Well, we have a dealer out to a Sangha member, and they're going to check their calendar.
Okay. Well, let's have our 1 minute service.